Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. With me is Brandon Beaver. I am one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Brandon is a former LSAT Demon student and current LSAT Demon teacher. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm great, Nate. How you doing today?
Excellent, except for a bear broke into my car overnight and ripped open my center console and also ripped a hole in my golf bag. But other than that, I'm doing just fine. We have an email here from Mitch. Why don't you read it for us, Brandon?
Yeah, we'll do. All right. It says, Dear Ben and Nathan, my question today is personal statement and addendum related. All right, cool. Between 20 plus hour work weeks out of necessity, documented mental health /chemical dependency issues, and taking forever to realize that my initial STEM major was not for me, my undergrad career was mediocre. Well, one piece of advice, use a period, Mitch. That was a long sentence, my dude. If you're looking for personal statement advice. Let's carry on here. I was even dismissed for grades in my fourth year before re-entering and graduating as an English major, which provided a slight upswing. I'm assuming he means to his GPA.
Yeah.
You pump the brakes there, unpack that one a little bit.
I don't think I would probably share very much of that stuff. Like, you have bad grades. Okay. I would never, ever talk about your mental health /chemical dependency issues unless you absolutely had to, like, because you had an arrest or something that you had to, like, disclose. I just don't think it's in your favor at all to talk about that. The next thing I would say is you got way too many excuses all in one thing here. You know, what was it? Was it the 20 hour work weeks, or was it the documented mental health issues, or was it the chemical dependency issues, or was it that the initial STEM major was not for you? You got to pick one. It can't be all four of those things. Now, I understand that in real life, it probably is a combination of all four of those things, but nobody wants to hear a litany of excuses. So, and I realize you're just writing into a podcast. You're not like doing that in a personal statement, but just don't come anywhere close to doing that in a personal statement, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that started strong. I worked 20 hours a week out of necessity. Well, great. Like, having just submitted applications, they love hearing about that kind of stuff. But then the rest of this is just like CNF crazy. You know what I mean? Like, this is just character and fitness things that you're going to have to address, Mitch. And you're going to need some pretty decent explanations. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could have had mental health issues that you don't need to disclose. You could have had chemical dependency issues that you don't need to disclose. The irresponsible thing of like having a major that wasn't right for you and then changing your mind. That's just shit that happens for kids. It's real common and it's not really a feather in your cap. So if you were explaining, if someone asks, like, why did you have bad grades? You say, well, I had to work 20 plus hours a week to pay the bills. Yeah. And yeah, that's only a partial explanation. That's okay. We don't need the full explanation. Give us the part of the explanation that makes you look good.
Yeah. When I say CNF, I'm mostly looking at that. I was even dismissed for grades in my fourth year.
Like,
they're going to see that and they're going to want to hear about it. They're going to want you to explain that for sure.
Yeah. You are going to have to explain that. But again, I think I would just say, you know, I was working 20 hours a week. I just couldn't get it done. I had to sort out some stuff I had to sort out my financial situation when I came back, and then I killed it. Or, well, didn't kill it. You had a slight upswing. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, you got a bad undergraduate record. Fine.
Yep. Let's keep moving here. It says, Mitch says, I subsequently served a stint in AmeriCorps. I then bartended professionally for 5 years while partially completing a post-baccalaureate certificate in writing before I realized that an MFA in creative writing or MA in journalism wasn't what I wanted, even though my grades were almost a 4.0. Man, Mitch, sounds to me like you're not really sure what you want to be doing, and that kind of scares me a little bit for you for your law career. I'll be honest with you, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Nate.
Well, it's okay to change your mind a million times. It's just that, like, when you're telling your story, if you're telling your story to people who are gonna, you know, be admitting you or not admitting you to school, I don't think that like it's a real common thing that people love to talk about what wasn't what I wanted, you know, like, well, I did this and that wasn't for me. And then I did this other thing and that wasn't the right fit. Yeah. Okay. Well, then why are you talking about it? Like,
yeah,
you know, we don't go around like talking about our ex-girlfriends and or boyfriends that much, right? They weren't for us. We moved on. You're happily married now? Great. Okay. Well, then I don't really need to hear stories about all the ones that didn't work out. I don't know. It's just, or like if you're on a, actually a better analogy is you're on a date with a prospective partner and you're going on and well, that she didn't work out because she did this and that didn't work out because that wasn't the right fit. It's like, whoa, okay. I mean, I get it that, you know, Mitch is just giving us some background for the show, but I don't think any of this probably really needs to make it into the law school's ears.
Yeah. Let's keep moving here. It says, after my bartending career was halted with the pandemic, I was inspired after many long conversations with a law student friend to get certified as a paralegal. I did that, getting a 4.0 in my program, and started working as a paralegal, which I love. I got a 162 on my LSAT in August, but know I can do better, so I'm retaking it later this week. I'm smart, stay hungry. That's just good advice in our opinion. You know, we want you to be prepared to take the test multiple times. And I mean, I think a 162 is a decent score, but I see no reason, assuming that you're drinking the Kool-Aid, Mitch, we see students all the time eclipsing 170 and then some after doing this well on an official test. So in my opinion, stay hungry.
Oh, on the Thinking LSAT podcast, we just had an email from somebody who scored 174, but thought they could score higher. And Ben and I both were just like, oh, absolutely. Take it again. Like you're crazy not to. So yeah. 162, there's lots of room to score higher than that. And if you know you can do better, then I believe you. So yeah, keep taking it until you get that score that really represents your true ability.
With all of that, how much space in my personal statement should I give to each of those paragraphs? I feel, yeah, probably not a lot, Mitch, to take the words out of Nate's mouth there, I think. I feel like they show distinctive stages of my life, shaky young student, hardworking but aimless drifter, revitalized paralegal, but I don't want to tell my life story and forget to show why I want to go to law school. Thank you for reading this novel. Well, I love that. I love that salutation at the end there, just because self-awareness, but
you're missing, I mean, you're just, Mitch, you're missing a big point here, which is, I don't think you understand the purpose of the personal statement. The purpose of the personal statement is to sell yourself to law schools. I mean, whatever they say the purpose of the personal statement is, I don't give a shit. Your purpose in your personal statement is to sell yourself to the law schools. They're going to read this document. You've got, you know, this is your 5-minute meeting with the decision maker. What are you going to say to them in that 5 minutes that's going to get them to admit you? And this life story going through the distinctive stages of your life, I would cut all of it except for the, you know, I don't know that I would say revitalized paralegal. You sound like a kick-ass paralegal. I mean, you're getting a 4.0 in your paralegal program. You love working as a paralegal. I think you should spend the entire 2 pages talking about how much you're kicking ass as a paralegal, because, you know, that shaky young student is not what they're looking for. The hardworking but aimless drifter is also definitely not what they're looking for. But a successful paralegal is exactly what they're looking for. Like someone who has worked in law successfully and loves it. So you know what you're getting yourself into and you actually want to do that. Well, all you got to do is talk about that. The why I want to go to law school, I don't give one shit about that. Like, who cares? You don't even know what opportunities exist until you go to law school. You're going to change your mind in law school on what you want to do with your legal career. Okay. Almost everyone does. So I'm not interested. Law schools, you know, I think law schools give bad advice on personal statements. They say, oh, that's great. Tell us why you want to be a lawyer, you know? But I think all they're really saying is, we just want you to apply. We want you to write an app. We want you to write your personal statement. We want you to feel good about it. We want you to submit it so that we can decide whether we're going to admit you or not. And so sure, they'll tell you, oh, you argued, really? You argued with your parents about your bedtime? Oh, that's perfect. Like, just write about that, you know? And it's like, well, okay, you and half the other applicants are doing some bogus thing like that. And it's not where I would go if I was really making a sales pitch. You just don't differentiate yourself with stuff like that. Nor do you differentiate yourself with, like, I care deeply about the plight of refugees, or I care deeply about the plight of women, or I care deeply about the plight of whatever. Everybody cares deeply about those things. And you're just, it's not like, what are you bringing to the table? They're here to learn about you as a winner. Reasonable minds can disagree on this, and you're going to hear all kinds of different personal statement advice from different advisors. But I would say you put your best foot forward by showing yourself succeeding in things. And it looks here like what you have succeeded at is being a paralegal, which is the most appropriate thing you possibly could be successful at in order to convince them that you're going to be successful in law school. So I would spend 100% of the personal statement talking about that. Some of this other stuff you're going to have to maybe disclose to answer individual questions, but your personal statement needs to be a sales pitch for you and the troubles that you went through, losing your job due to COVID, doing masters but not wanting to complete it. None of those things are good. They're real. But you're not scoring points. So I would just use the page and a half that you have here to score points by talking about how much you love being a paralegal and your paralegal program. Anything to add to that, Brandon?
Just as somebody who spent a lot of time working on a personal statement very, very recently, I echo all of this very strongly. I think that when I was crafting mine, I've hired and fired a lot of people. I've been in jobs and positions where that's been a big part of what I have to do. So I kind of treated it like the first step in the door of working my way into like an interview. You know, if I was kind of interviewing for this, so to speak, I know some schools do interviews, but how would I introduce myself? What would I try to say to let that prospective employer know I'm the right person for the job? And I'm not going to introduce anything that could be interpreted against me, whether or not in my interpretation of those events, it came out to be a net positive. Like, my interpretation of events is more or less irrelevant here. I'm submitting information to somebody who does not know me, who I have to exclusively get to believe that I'm worth the job. I'm worth the, in this case, admittance. I don't buy the narrative of like, Tell us the big thing that you overcame. I don't want to hear about the negative shit at all. Just like, introduce me to all of your strongest qualities. Introduce me to the things that are going to make it abundantly obvious that you're going to be a kick-ass lawyer and represent my school really well. That's going to attract future students, future classes of other people that look, sound, and behave like you to come here. And basically everything you introduced in that first paragraph, Mitch, I'd be very, very careful. You're already going to have to submit some CNF stuff. You will have to. Most schools are going to require it. Every one of them that I applied to had those boxes to check. And I mean, if you got dismissed for grades, you're going to have some explaining to do. I would not touch that at all in your personal statement. You're going to have an opportunity. Trust me.
No, the personal statement is not your life story, and it's not the place to disclose things that are bad for your application. The personal statement is, it's your elevator pitch. It's your sales pitch for like why you're going to kick ass in the legal field. I just can't imagine including any of this stuff except for the winning part in your personal statement.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mitch. Hopefully that was helpful. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Brandon, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening.